Good morning. Today's daf in Bamitzia Samech Zion. We are on the very top of Samech Vavam. And basically, we're starting with the first line, last words on the first line. Amalei Mar Yanuka Umar Kashisha. Two brothers by the same name. We'll get back to that just in a moment. Let's set ourselves up in our discussion that we are continuing from yesterday. So we are working on a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us describing a predatory lender where our lender over here is going to be lending money to somebody who is obviously in desperate need for it, and he gives them terms, 3 years. And in the event that you default after 3 years, what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect land. And the land is going to far exceed the value of the loan. So, and we all agree. So everyone's in agreement. Good. So so what happens now at the end of 3 years and at the default? So in the Mishnah, we learned together that the halach is that you can go ahead and you can take that land. In other words, he agreed that he was ready to forfeit the land in the event of default. So he agreed to it. I'm taking the land. The land is well in excess of the actual loan amount. Okay, that's fine. And the Mishnah says not only is that fine, but Baitus Ben Zunin, so he availed himself to such a practice. And the Chachamim were totally okay with it. Now I'm saying all this as if like this is perfectly fine and it's, you know, and it's good and, you know, and it works. And so, okay, in other words, the morals and the ethics behind it, I'll leave that for other people to decide and to deliberate. Right, obviously, as just simply a presenter of the Gemara, so what I'm interested in is just simply the halacha, and as of the Mishnah, so we said that that's fine. That's you can go ahead and you can claim the land, but as we learned in yesterday's daf, and we introduced ourselves to, so this gets us into the world of asmachta. Now, the world of asmachta is a world where I'm making a condition, but it's not a binding condition. Why is it not binding? Because over here, let's take the same scene and let's just now look at it from the perspective of the borrower. The borrower says, look, I'm in need of money right now, and you're giving me 3 years. I'll be able to pay back in 3 years. And what? And if I don't pay back in 3 years, I'm going to forfeit my land? Sure. When he's saying sure, he's not really putting his weight behind that. He doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean that he's really going to forfeit the land, because he never thinks it's going to get to that point in time. In other words, in his mindset, I'm going to pay back the loan within 3 years. I'm not going to give up the land. So he was not confident, he was not committed to really forfeiting the land. So although he said, yes, I'll give you the land, he wasn't really behind that yes, and it's what's called an asmachta. And asmachta, is it kona or is it not kona? So as we learned yesterday, machlok is tanayim. So the tanayim debate this very issue. Rav Yossi says that asmachta is kona, Rav Yehuda says asmachta is not kona. So where are we right now? We're in a machlokas tanayim on the issue. Now, so behind the Mishnah really is an entire sugya of, well, maybe our predatory lender is not going to be able to get the land. Now, but our Mishnah says that the predatory lender is able to get the land. So as we learned yesterday, so Rav Nachman himself, so he himself waffled on this very issue. Meaning, originally Rav Nachman was of the position that, go ahead, take the land. In other words, you have every right to the land, meaning Rav Nachman was firmly in the camp of Asmachta is Kona. That's where Rav Nachman started off. And remember, we had a story yesterday where there was a contract that was written up by Rav Nachman himself, where he allowed the lender to go ahead and take the land at the end of the loan, at the end of the default. And he was challenged, he was questioned, more than challenged. Rav Yehuda took the shtar and tore it up. Okay. So, and Rav Nachman... And Rav Nachman said, well, in the second version, Rav Nachman said that Rav Yehuda really has no business in doing so. Rav Nachman says, I know more than Rav Yehuda. Anyway, as all this progressed, so what we got to yesterday is that Rav Nachman, so he did an about face. Rav Nachman himself ended up saying that Asmachta is not Kona. And so therefore, where Rav Nachman now lands on this issue is that our lender cannot take the land. Our Mishnah says he can. Rav Nachman's conclusion is he can't. What about the Mishnah? So as we learned yesterday, there are a couple ways to deal with the Mishnah. The simplest way to deal with the Mishnah is our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is of the position that Asmachta is Kona. Our Mishnah is following that viewpoint. Rav Nachman doesn't follow that viewpoint. No longer follows that viewpoint. And so Rav Nachman says that our lender cannot go ahead and take the land after 3 years. Okay, so where are we right now? In the middle of a very big sugya of whether Asmachta is Kona, Asmachta is not Kona. And we are deciphering Rav Nachman's position in terms of where he stands on this issue. And right now, we have him standing firmly in the position of Asmachta is not Kona, and our lender cannot go ahead and take the land after 3 years. Okay, that's a lot. We haven't read a word of Gemara yet, and I'm acknowledging that's already a lot. But fine, that's where we are. The fifth parak, as we already pointed out numerous times, is a challenging parak, and there's a lot going on over here. And we continue. So we're on Samach Vav Amud Beis, top of the Amud. So, when we're looking at a asmachta situation, like our Mishnah, so where the Malva says to the Lova, after 3 years, I come and collect the land, you good with that? And the Lova says, sure, I'm good with that. So, if we are talking about Bizmane, if we're talking about where the time for the loan is due, and the borrower did not pay it up, so he was kone. However, below zmane, if we're talking about before the 3 years up or up, lo kanya. He has not been kone. So this is how it was quoted in the name of Nachman. This is the two Mars, right, which are two brothers by the same name, which again is a little bit unusual, but these are the two Mars, and they're saying this over to Rav Ashi. So Amalu, so Rav Ashi says, kol mida bizmane kone below zmane lo kane. So Rav Ashi just can't even understand what he's hearing right now. Well, what do you mean? In other words, you're trying to tell me a chiddush. If it's before the loan is due, so then the lender is not going to the land. Okay. That's always the case. In other words, before the loan is due, even though you secured a property against the loan, but it's before the loan is due, so the lender hasn't acquired. That's always true. What are you trying to say? You haven't said anything. So the Dilma Hachi Kamrisa. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's try to tighten this up. Let's say something. So Ashkeche begoz mane varmale kane kane. So Basra's mane varmale kani. So lo kani. My taima machmas kisufa de kamerle. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so they're trying to say something in the name of Rav Nachman. We don't know what they're saying. Let's propose the following. Maybe, let's say that the borrower finds a lender. Lender and borrower find one another. And they actually meet. And their meeting was while the loan is still due. And Amar Leh Kanei. And the borrower says to the lender, look, right? I already see what's going to happen right now. We're going to get to the deadline. I'm not going to be able to pay. You get the land. So if that's what happened, so Kanei. So in other words, that is to be understood as a forfeiture of the land. However, if they meet after the loan is due, and Amar Leh Kanei, and the borrower says to the lender, go ahead, I'm forfeiting the land. So, lo kanei. So then it doesn't work. Now, why should that be? So the Gemara explains, my time, I'm machmas kisufa de kamerle. The Gemara says, because what we're going to try to, analyze is what's really going on in the mind of the borrower, right? Our defaulted borrower, what is he really thinking? So if it's besochazman, so what he's thinking is that I'm not going to be able to pay, and he's really going to forfeit the land. If it's after the Zman, what he's really thinking is that, no, I really do want to pay the loan. It's just right now, it's past due, right? I'm overdue, and I'm embarrassed right now. So I'm saying I'm giving you the land, but not because I really want to give the land, but just simply because I'm embarrassed. The Gemara says, maybe that's what they're quoting B'Shem Rav Nachman. But the Gemara says, V'lohi, afila begoz mane nami lo kani. So, v'hai dekam rele kani. So the Gemara says no. In other words, when our borrower is going ahead and conceding the land, it doesn't matter when he concedes it. He's conceding it within the due date. He's conceding it after the due date. His conceding is not a concession, even within the due date. In other words, what he's just simply doing is that look. In other words, I know I owe money, but what I don't want him to do is I don't want him to bother me. And again, by the way, he has the right to bother me, because he lent me money and I owe him the money. But what I'm just simply saying is that I want him just simply away. And so when I say words like I'm conceding the land, even if it's besoch hazman, so the Gemara says that is not a concession. You are not forfeiting the land, and you're just doing so to give yourself some space between you and him. That's what the Gemara just said. Ki matiz mane lo lise litardan. I don't want it to be torrid me. I don't want it to bother me. Okay. So where are we right now? So what we just try to do for the last couple lines of Gemara is ascertain as to whether or not Rav Nachman makes any kind of distinction whatsoever in terms of when our borrower concedes the land. Meaning Rav Nachman's conclusion is this machlokes lo kanya, But what if, let's say, he verbalized and he says, I concede the land to you? Our defaulted borrower goes and concedes the land to the lender. Is there going to be an occasion where that concession is to be taken literally? That's what we just discussed. Amar Papa Hayas Machta Zimna Kanye Zimna Lo Kanye. Okay, so Rav Papa now is going to also try to make distinctions. Meaning, asmachta generally is not going to be kona. And again, what's behind asmachta? The idea behind asmachta is that when the borrower made that initial agreement, I'm going to borrow money from you, there's a three-year term, I'm going to pay you back by the end of the 3 years, and if I don't, I'm going to give up my land to you. My land, which exceeds the value of the loan, I'll give it up to you. So that is an asmachta. Why? Because the borrower never thinks that he's actually going to have to give up the land. He was not serious about this commitment. Okay, so good. So in other words, so this is asmachta. Is it kona? Is it not kona? Major debate. We are having Rav Nachman now in the position of not kona. Okay, and we just discussed maybe distinctions to be made, but not kona. Now we move to Rav Papa. Rav Papa also is going to be discussing whether or not there could be distinctions being made. So hayasmachta zimna kamya zimna okanya. So Rav Papa now will attempt to make the following distinction. And that is, Ashkech dekashase shechra. So kini dekamahapech azuze lo kini. On the day of the due. I didn't say that well. On the let's try that again.
On the due date.
On the due date. Thank you. That's better. Works out so much better. On the due date. So now the lender goes over to the borrower, finds a borrower. Okay. Right now, what is the borrower doing? So, and I'm not exaggerating, right? I'm not narrating over here. This is literally what the Gemara is saying. If he's sipping a beer, so then at that point in time, you can interpret that as he's conceding. He's conceding the land. If, on the other hand, he's on the phone, okay, that of course is not literal, but if he's on the phone asking for people to help him out, and he's basically running around looking for money, so he's not conceding the land. So in other words, we're looking at, this is an amazing Gemara. I'm a little hypnotized by this Gemara. So we're looking basically at his posture on the due date, and that will be a way of revealing whether or not he's actually conceding the property or not conceding the property. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Acha midifta le Ravina, so dim le pakuche pachte kashase. Inami. Perfect, perfect. Right? There was understanding well before I... Inami inashachrina asmeche azuze. Okay, so the Gemara says, no. In other words, as much as Rav Papa, by the way, and the connection between Rav Papa and beer is rather amazing. Here in this fifth parak above Metzia, we can already point to a number of times where Rav Papa and beer are connected, and for good reason, because he's a brewer. Okay, put that aside for now. Anyway, but the Gemara says, look, no. Just because you see him on the due date, and you find, and the lender finds a bar now drinking a beer, okay, now I'll narrate, and he's at the local bar, and he's drinking a beer, and it doesn't matter. Number one, it could very well be that he needs something to calm him down. In other words, totally understandably, he's extraordinarily anxious right now. And he owes this money, and this lender is going to come after him, and today's the due date. Okay, so he doesn't know what to do. So it could very well be that right now he's turning to beer. That's one. Two, says the Gemara. It could very well be that right now you see him drinking a beer, and he looks really calm. Do you know why? Because he's got a wealthy uncle. And right now he knows that in the event that he defaults, so he's got an uncle that he can rely upon. Okay. Good. So the posture of beer drinking versus not beer drinking, the Gemara does not seem to enjoy that distinction in terms of whether or not he's going to concede the property or not. So Ella Maravina. So I kabi bidame. So Vadekane. So now the Gemara is going to try to turn to another telltale sign in terms of whether or not he is conceding the property or he's not conceding the property. Let's say kapi b'deme. So let's say as follows, and that is that, look, he owes money. It's the due date. So what should he be doing right now? So what he should be doing is doing everything within his possibility of going ahead and raising the money in order to pay back the loan. Okay, which means that if he needs to sell off some of his assets, that's what he should be doing right now. But he's not that willing to sell off his assets, right? In other words, so he's not ready to discount any of his assets in order to sell them. What is that telling us? He's not ready to pay back the loan. So what now Ravina is introducing is that if he's makpid and not selling off his assets and not discounting any of his assets to sell off in order to pay for the loan, that's just basically concession. He's forfeiting his property. So vadekani, and that now under those circumstances, our lender is going to be able to correctly acquire the property. So amalei Ravach midiftel Ravina Dilma. So the Gemara says, no. Again, that's also not going to be a telltale sign. Because over here, do you know why he's not discounting any of his other assets? If he starts discounting other assets, so now people will...
panic selling.
Right, correct. People will see that there's blood in the water and the sharks are going to attack. And so you're right. So now all of a sudden you're basically liquidating, right? It's a fire sale, if you will. And now people will see, oh, we have a deal coming up over here. And now all of our local sharks are going to come over and they're going to take advantage of it. So no, just because he's not discounting and he's not liquidating, that is not a sign of forfeiture. Okay. By the way, as complicated as the Gemara is over here, it's basically, the Gemara is really struggling to see whether or not there's anything we could see in terms of whether he is ready to give up the property, yes or no. So Elamar Papa, he copied Ba'ara Vadekani. So let's say he's not ready to sell off any of his properties, and even Bishavyam, even at value, if he's not ready to do that, so now that is a clear sign that he forfeited the property. Okay. And the Gemara seems to be happy with this position, meaning that if he is not budging and selling off any of his other properties, even at value, not discount, even at value, that's basically a nod to the Malveh. You can go ahead now and you can take my property. That would be a fair representation of there's no way I'm paying back the loan. I'm not doing anything to pay it back. You get the property. So now Rapapa would like to make another contribution to this halacha. Okay, so where do we stand on Asmachta? So since yesterday's daf, I know we're still learning yesterday's daf, but since yesterday's daf, so our conclusion is Asmachta is not Kanya. So that means to say that at the end of the 3 years, the land is not forfeited. We just made one carve out, and that is that if the borrower is just simply doing nothing to help raise the money in terms of paying back the loan, and given the opportunity, he has an opportunity, and he's still saying, nah, I'm not going to do anything to raise the money, so that's a forfeiture of the property, but anything short of that, Asmachta is not Kona. Okay. Rapapa would like to add, and that is that even though we say Asmachta is not Kona, but apotiki havia limig beminei. But what if we apotikied the property? Now, we've covered this before again and again. An apotiki is not only a security, but it is a specific security where when we made the loan, we pointed to this particular property and we said that this property is going to represent collection in the event of a default. So, good. Perfect. David's wondering, good. So David's wondering, hasn't that been our discussion from the very beginning? So I'm le Rav Huna Bered Rav Nas and le Rav Papa Mikam le Kanilu Guvaina. So the Gemara says, effectively, what did you do? Did you forfeit the property? Meaning, this is exactly what we've been discussing since the beginning. And over here, you did not forfeit the property. So Amalei Marzucha Berita Ravmar Le Ravina Ve'i Amar Le Migve Minei. So Kani Sof Sof Asmachtehi Vasmachta Lo Kanya. And the Gemara says, and look, even when you said the word Kani, remember, that's what we said from the very beginning. The borrower said from the beginning that in the event that I default on the property, you can keep the property. That was the whole case to begin with. And in that context, what we said is that still, that is not a binding condition. It was an asmachta condition, and he was reliant on the fact he was thinking the whole time, I'm going to pay back the loan. So even if he says kini, it's not a kinyan. So what, Rav Papa, are you saying? In other words, the Gemara can't wrap its head around what Rav Papa is even saying. So ela potiki dekamer Rav Papa maihi. So the Gemara says, okay. So what is Rav Papa actually saying? So da amrle lo yelecha piron elamizu. So the Gemara says is that when Rav Papa made this additional statement, So what he meant was is that it's only going to be coming from this. What is exactly?
Well, that is supposed to be
right. Right. What does that mean? So Rashi writes as follows. Amar le lo yelecha peron alemizeh. Apesok shalashanim v'im ein aninos yelecha migufa. Kenege ma'osecha shalashanim tekulo shalcha. Ba'amar ha-papa da'afagav de lo kanyelam ha-have kula di-day. So the way Rashi understands this is as follows. Look, at the end of 3 years, so he is not conceding the property. Again, it's an asmachta. And asmachta is not konya. However, la'achar gimel apotiki have lemig b'minei debalav asmachta nami shavya apotiki. When setting it up now as an apotiki, any time from the origination of the loan until the conclusion of the loan, when he sets it up now as an apotiki, effectively what he's saying is that whatever part of the land represents the loan, that I'm going to owe you. Meaning what Rapapa now is teaching us is that even though at the beginning of the loan, what he said was, I'll concede the land to you. Fine. But again, that's an asmachta. But if at any point in time now, they write up an apotiki, now making this land position number one in terms of securing the loan, so now what's going to end up happening at the due date is that whichever part of the land represents the loan. Let's say the loan is 50% of the land. So now that will allow the lender to go and get 50% of the land. Okay. Period. That's the additional point that Rav Papa was making. Good. Okay. Okay, good. We continue.
But this is in putting it all together, then this is really not an asmada. If he is only assigning a particular part of the land and to
correct,
satisfy the
correct.
Market that's equal to the amount, then right. There's no asmachta. There's no...
Correct.
But that, then he still didn't answer the question of asmachta.
No, in other words, no. The starting point of the whole discussion, as per the Gemara's conclusion, asmachta is not kona. But now, if they want to go ahead now and contract that what I'm going to do is I'm going to secure the loan, the actual loan, meaning I'm not going to give you the whole property against the loan, that's absurd. But in other words, to secure the part of the loan representing, the part of the property representing the loan, you want to contract that? I'm totally fine with that. Rav Papa says that could be written up and contracted even after the origination of the loan. Okay. We are continuing Hau Gavra. Samach Vav Amid Beis, still yesterday's stuff, but it's fine. So the Hau Gavra does Avin Le'ar Le'chavre Bachrayus. For Amr Le'i Tarfa Le'i Minai, Migbe Le'i Mi'idi Desti Eslach. Okay, so... sale of a land and sale of a land with insurance. Okay, we just did this yesterday and a couple of times before as well. And that is that back in the good old days, so there was no title insurance company. So the seller was the insurer of that property. So that in the event that that land gets repossessed by somebody who claims ownership, so now the buyer is going to get protected. Okay, by the seller. So this is what selling the land with achrayus. So, how gavra does avin le'ar le'chavre b'achrayos? Amar le'i, itar f'le'i minai, mikbele'i mi'idi d'islach. Okay, so now, in the insurance policy that's written up by the seller to the buyer, so they agree that not only am I collecting from your best, from your property, but your idi idis, right? Your best property. So, amar le'i, mi'idi idis log mikbele'ach d'bi'in le'mekim kamai, ela magbin lach mi'idis achrim d'islach. So counteroffer made by the seller to the buyer, and that is that I'm going to insure, in other words, good, I'm writing up an insurance policy, but within my insurance policy, you're not going to be getting my best, you're going to be getting my second best, okay? Now, the words idis and idis is a little bit confusing over here, somewhat misleading, because idis usually refers to the best. But in the context of this discussion, so this is how to understand it, idis is my personal best, and idis is my second best. Okay, I know the language is a little confusing.
It's actually backwards, though. Oh. Idis would be like the top.
Oh, whatever. That's what we're describing over here. Okay, so they came to, and let's assume that they came to terms. Okay, they agreed. So now what we have is that we have a seller who is insuring the sale of the land, but in other words, specifying that which of his lands is going to be used as an insurance policy, not the best, but the second best. Now, Lesof Tarfu Aminei. Okay, so now as the story continues. So the land that was purchased now was taken away by somebody who had a legitimate claim to that land. And now the buyer goes back to the seller and says, okay, we wrote up an insurance policy, and now I'm putting in a claim. I'm now claiming because the land was taken away from me. It's a legitimate claim. Now, the story continues. Asa bitka v'shakol le'idi'idis. Now along comes the river and washes away the seller's ide'idis. His number one land now was washed away. And so now he's only left with his idis land. And so now, remember, how did the insurance policy read? I'm going to insure you, but not using my best land, only my second best land. That's how the insurance policy read. And so now, as the buyer puts in a claim, so now what the seller is going to try to argue is that I'm not going to give you my idis. Why? Because right now, currently, as we speak, that's my best land. And if you read the insurance policy, it says, I'm not going to give you my best land, I'm giving you my second best land. Okay? So it sounds like we're in court, which we are. So now, so Rapapa says, okay, so as far as my interpretation of the insurance policy, Rapapa says that what he insured him is that he told him he was going to, he's going to use his idis as coverage. He's got idis. He's got to give the idis over to the seller. So Amalei Rav Acha midiftel Ravina v'lei Malaki Amalecha na magbin alach to have a idis kaima hashta kaima le idis b'makom idis. And Rav Acha disagrees. And Rav Acha says no. In other words, I'm gonna interpret the insurance policy differently. In other words, I'm reading the insurance policy is that when I'm giving you is my second best. Currently, right now, my idis is my best. Again, I suffered the loss. I lost my idis, right? It got washed out. So my idis is currently my best. So now the correct way to read the insurance policy is that I'm no longer obligated to give you the idis, but rather my next best after that. Apparently he had other lands as well. And so therefore he only has to cover using his beinonis as opposed to his idis. Okay. Why is this here? Okay, it's whatever. It's similar to Asmachta. It's not exactly the same. All right, we're going to continue. Rav Bar Shiva, Havei Masik Bei Rav Kahana Zuzei. So Rav Bar Shiva was a borrower, and it happens to be that the lender is Rav Kahana. We all know together, Rav Kahana, not an easy personality. Okay, we know that. Okay, good. In other words, again, he's an Amora Gaon, right? But it's okay. He just wasn't easy. So Amrale Ilo Peranalach Leon Ploni Gabi Mahay Chamra. So now a commitment was made by this Rav Bar Shiba to Rav Kahana, and that is that in the event that I default on the loan, so you can go ahead and you can collect wine. Okay, fine. And he points to the wine that is going to be used as a security against the loan. Fine. So now this is a commitment. Is it an asmachta commitment? Yes or no? So Savra Papa Lamemar. And oh, by the way, let's add an important point, which the Gemara does not make clear, but Rashi does. And that is that the value of the wine post-commitment went up significantly. So now the wine value exceeds the value of the loan. This is very similar to the example of the land that we've been discussing now for 2 days. So Savra Papa Lamemar. Ki arminas machlo kanya hani milabara de lavlis vune kaime avachamra came into lizvune kai kizuze dame. So our papa says, okay, well, this is not like the case of the land. In the case of the land, that's asmachta, right? That's our conclusion. That's been our conclusion. I know the Mishnah didn't say that. But again, post Mishnah, all we've been saying is that the case of the land is an asmachta type of commitment, which means that it's not binding. And the lender doesn't get the land. But the Gemara now, Rav Papa's thinking, you know why the lender doesn't get the land? Because I'm not ready to sell my property. In other words, I know I was giving up my property, but come on, I wasn't serious. Who sells their property? But over here, we're talking about wine. Isn't that the whole point of wine? In other words, I have wine to sell. So can't we view wine more as a commodity? Or better stated, can we view it more like a currency? And if I'm committing my wine against the loan, and in the event of default, you get to collect my wine, doesn't that work? So Kazuze Dami Amale Ravuna Brid Ravishun La Rapapa Hachamin Mishmeh Rava called the E Lokani. So the Gemara's conclusion is no. No, this is a smachta. Because what did he say? The E. He said the word if. if I default on the loan, then, In other words, stop right there. It doesn't matter what he's securing against it. In other words, when he makes such a commitment, it is not a binding commitment because he does not think in his head that he will be defaulting on the loan. So whatever comes out of his mouth afterwards, I will be securing, it doesn't matter. Whatever, at that point in time, it is an asmachta, non-binding commitment. He does not think that he is defaulting on the loan, and therefore, he's not bound to give him the wine. Amar Rav Nachman Hashad, Amar Rabban asmachta lo kanya, hada arav hadra pere. Okay, next chapter of the discussion. Okay, and that is that asmachta is not kona. And we know that Rav Nachman takes his position, and now the next part of the discussion is, okay, now what about all the fruit that was consumed by the lender? Okay, now, to be clear, and Rashi makes this point very clear, and so allow me please to try to make this clear. To be clear, we're talking about after the 3 years is up. In other words, before the 3 years is up, there's nothing to talk about, meaning that land belongs to the borrower, right? The only time that there is even a discussion of forfeiture of land is after the 3 years is up. But again, it's a smachta. So you're not forfeiting the land, but at least there's a thought process that after the 3 years, the land is forfeited to the lender. So now after 3 years comes and goes, so the lender now goes and takes the land. Now he's not entitled to, because the smachta is not kona, but he does. And now after 3 years, he enjoys the fruit of the land. I don't know, for a year, 2 years, whatever. And so now Rav Nachman says, not only does the lender have to return the land because the smachta is not kona, but we'll go even one step further. Our next chapter in the discussion, the lender also has to return the peros. All those peros that he ate post 3 years, and whatever peros he ate, he has to reimburse that as well. Okay? And
what's not happening otherwise?
Ah, perfect. What a good setup. Thank you. And why would you think otherwise? Okay. So, lememra desav Rav Nachman mechila b'taslavia mechila. Okay, so now it brings us to a new discussion for today, and that is Mechila Batos. And for the remainder of today, even though we're going to be falling behind, but okay, I'll worry about that tomorrow. For the remainder of today, we talk about Mechila Batos, and that is that our borrower over here, at least for a little bit of time thought, you know what? The lender's entitled to my property. I did give it up. I did commit to it. And again, when they go to Beis Din, everything will be cleared up because Beis Din will tell you, no, you didn't forfeit your land. It was not smacht. Okay, the Beis Din's going to clear all that up. But in other words, there was a moment in time where the borrower thought, he gets my land. And he's going to get my peros. And I'm going to be mochel. Now, all this turned out to be a mistake. And now, where do we stand on mechila b'taos? You were mochel, but you were mochel for the wrong reasons. Is that a mechila, yes or no? Ditmar amocher peros dekel lichavero am Rav Huna shelo ba laolam yachol achzabo misha ba laolam ein yachol achzabo. Okay, so you're selling fruit that haven't yet arrived. In other words, you're selling upcoming crop, but they haven't yet grown yet. This is what's called a davar shelo ba laolam, something that we're all too familiar with. It comes up again and again throughout the Gemara. So according to Rav Huna, before the fruit actually grows in, so you can go ahead and retract on the negotiated sale. After the fruit grow in, you can no longer you can't retract. So Rav Nachman Amar Af Mishabal Olam Yachol Achzabo. So Rav Nachman says, what are you talking about? If the original commitment was made before the fruit came into the world, so either party can go ahead and retract because this is a Davar Shelo Bal Olam. Ein Adam Makne Davar Shelo Bal Olam. At the original agreement between the two parties. So the fruit is not here yet. So this is a kinyan on davar shelo bal olam, and Rav Nachman's position, nice and simple, ein adamakne davar shelo bal olam. Good. Ve'amar Rav Nachman modina di shamet v'achel lamafkin aminei. Now, let's say that what happens is that we agreed to buy the produce, and before the produce came into the world, and so again, it's not a kinyan, but I go ahead now, once the fruit start growing in, I go and start taking fruit. Right, and my argument is I purchased it. And the seller, at that point in time, is a little bit unsure. Well, we did have that agreement, that's right. Okay, maybe it belongs to him. And so Rav Nachman tells you, lo mafkina minei. Meaning, what we're not going to do is that we're not going to take peros away from him. And presumably, we're not going to take the peros from the person who ate the fruit. because we're going to assume that the seller thought that the sale was a good sale, and so therefore it was a mechila. Now it turns out to be bitalos. It was a mistake. In other words, when they had contracted and when they made the agreement, it was a davar shelo ba'olam, and the kinyan's not a good kinyan. But then when the peiros grew and the buyer took it, so they, with the thinking of, it's mine. So this is mechila bataos. And Rav Nachman says, okay, mechila bataos is a mechila. So the Gemara says, hasam zvine hachava. So the Gemara makes the following distinction. Okay. Rav Nachman will tell you the following, that if it's mechila, even though it was an error, that serves as a mechila, not by loans. By sales, yes. Not by loans. And Rashi over here writes, right, there's a lot of discussion about this Rashi. Rashi over here writes, right, the Hacha Havahi, last Rashi on the Amud. Mechzei Karibis over here, it looks like ribis. It looks like ribis. It in other words, we are, and Rashi, wait, let me just keep going Rashi. Shemitchila b'hava balo, uche ribis kitzutza dami. It looks like bona fide ribis. Meaning what, in our case over here, right, I'm borrowing money from you. In the event of default, you're going to get a land that far exceeds the value of the loan. Okay, I'm lending you money. I'm going to, and we agree that I'm going to be collecting a lot more at the end. Now, again, by the way, it's not really ribis kitzutza, because what you could do is you could just simply pay back the loan, but it's nira karibis kitzutza. Now, when it comes to ribis de rabbanon is by sales that look like ribis, like what we discussed in the beginning of this parak. But over here, if it really looks like ribis ketsutza, so then mechila batos, Rav Nachman's position will be it's not a mechila. Okay, so bring us now finally to today's daf. I know. So the bring us finally to today's daf, and the Gemara is going to be discussing this a little bit more. So Amar Rava, as we are on the top of Samach Zayin Amar Aleph. So Rava says that I had the following conversation with Rav Nachman covering two topics. Ona and Islandis. We're going to explain both of them momentarily. And we went back and forth on whether or not this Mechila B'taos works or doesn't work. Let's start off with Ona. Ona de Mechila B'taos Yivalavya Mechila. Okay, let's take a look at a simple example of Ona. Here's what I charged you. I charged you a sixth above how much I should have. Okay, what do we say? We all know the halacha. We just covered in the last parak of Bava Metzia. And that is that I'm going to have to return to you the difference. Say, in other words, if it's exactly a six, mecher kayam, but the difference I'm going to have to return. Why don't we say mechila over there? Meaning you were unsuspecting, you didn't know, and yet I have to return the difference to you. So that presumably is mechila betaus, and it's not a mechila. It's not a mechila. So the ode kazis an island is. And now when Rav Nachman turned around and looked at me, Rav Nachman said, okay, I hear you. I'm coming back at you with the case of islandis. Hare islandis, the mechila batalis, you have a mechila. Now that is mechila batalis and that serves as a mechila. What is the case of islandis? That none. So here we are looking at a Mishnah. Ha mima enes, hashni ha islandis. So, ein lehem lo ksuva, velo peros, velo mizonos, velo belos. So, you marry a woman. Now, at this point in time, I'm not going to spend, I'm just conserving time right now. I'm not going to spend time going over what the mam enes is and what the shnia is. If you've been around in Seder Nashim, so you know. Okay, I'm just right now going to focus on the islandis. So, in the case of the islandis, so you married a woman who turns out that she cannot reproduce. Okay, she's missing equipment. She is just simply not capable of having children. You didn't know that when you married her. You married her, and only discovery after you married her. So this is what's called the mekachtos. And so now over here, so what happens is that the marriage is dissolved, and at that point in time, she is going to be forfeiting everything. Okay, the ksuva, the balaos, in other words, all financial commitments that you made to her, she's going to be forfeiting. Now, let's focus right now. I know there's a lot of things that I can explain, but let's just focus on the payers right now. So that means is that while they were, I'm putting this in quotes for those of you who are not seeing me. So while they were married, so he went ahead and ate her peiros. After the marriage now is dissolved, so now she does not get to turn to him and say, give me back my peiros. Okay. This is what's called mechila b'taos. Now, they were never married. So he's not entitled to peiros. And yet, the Mishnah tells us she does not get the peiros back. So this is mechila b'taos, and it absolutely is a mechila. So Rav Nachman now turns to Rava, and Rava was cheppering him with Ona'a, and Rav Nachman's coming back with Eilonis. And it seems to be an extraordinary point. Velohi. So the Gemara says, on this topic of Mechila Betaos, so the Gemara's conclusion is outstanding. Ona doesn't belong as part of the conversation. Eilonis does not belong as part of the conversation. They are both outliers, and they both remain outside of what we're discussing. And the Gemara explains. So in other words, when it comes to Ona, do you know when the buyer bought the item and it was overcharged? So do you know that he had no idea? In other words, you can't call this a mechila b'taos, because over here, he didn't even know that he was being mochel. So in other words, he was totally ignorant of the amount that was charged. Okay, that's number one. And eilonis, so the velo eilonis misayele, denichle, the tepekal ashma de'ishos. Because when it comes to the case of eilonis, in other words, she is mochel, not betos. She's mochel by design, because what she would like to communicate and convey to the world at large is that she was married. In other words, if she gets everything back, that is broadcasting to the world at large that there was never a marriage. She would much prefer that she was a...
That label.
Right? And she does not want that. So in other words, for her, worth it... For her to forfeit her peiros, and by the way, right, the parts I didn't explain is she's forfeiting actually a lot more than that, right? The balaos, the ksuva, okay, and I didn't go into detail in terms of what else she's forfeiting, but again, I'm focusing on the peiros because Rashi really says that the rai is coming from the peiros. So she's forfeiting the peiros, but it's worth it to her because she wants the label of having been a married woman. Okay, it's more worth it to her. So it's not mechila b'taos. It's a designed mechila. She prefers it. Okay.
So she wouldn't get a get.
She doesn't need a get. In other words, they weren't married. Okay, so we're going to pause over here. I know we're behind. Okay, tomorrow I will make an effort. And tomorrow's daf happens to be a bit of a shorter daf. Tomorrow I'm going to make an effort to catch up. Okay, let's recap. Let's review. Okay? Interesting daf today. Right? Let's go. Topic number one. And that is asmachta. So asmachta is not kona. That was yesterday's conclusion, and we continue today with the conclusion of asmachta not being kona. At least that's Rav Nachman's very clear position, that asmachta lo kanya. It's machlokas tanaim, but Rav Nachman's position, as far as the conclusion, could not be clearer. What the Gemara entertained at the end of yesterday's daf is, I know asmachta is not kona, but are there any ways of seeing that this person really does, in fact, forfeit the property? The loan has come due, it's past due now. Our borrower now promised at the beginning that he conceded the property. Is there any point at the end where we could see clearly that he's conceding the property? And the Gemara effectively says no. Can you then, after the agreement, can you go ahead and write an apotiki on the property so at least the lender gets to secure the actual value of the loan? Rav Papa said yes. That you're allowed to do. And that took us really to the end of Samach Vav Amud Beis. Okay. So now, next chapter in the discussion, and that is, what about the return of peiros? Meaning, that asmachta lo kanya, and that means to say that when the lender goes ahead and repossesses the land, that was an illegal repossession, the lender has to return the land. How about the lender also returning peiros as well? That's what we're in the middle of discussing. So Rav Nachman says you have to return the peiros. I wasn't the borrower being mochel, albeit b'taos. But wasn't the borrower being mochel? And that brought us to discussion of mechila b'taos. Does it work, yes or no? And that's what we're in the middle of discussing. Ona is not a case of mechila b'taos. Eilonis is not a case of mechila b'taos. Our discussion happens to be, and where do we stand on mechila b'taos? That's where we ended off our discussion.